Shall we first of all turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Judges in the Old Testament? So if you only have your New Testament with you tonight, you're in trouble. Judges in chapter 6 is where we want to look at this evening. And before we do so, may we just take a moment or two to unite together in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, as we open thy word tonight, we do want to be conscious, our God, that the Spirit of God wrote the word of God. And so tonight, Father, it's the Spirit of God who is going to enable us to understand the word. Grant, Lord, as we look into it, that thou lift our hearts and our minds and all that's within us to gaze with real fresh vision upon our Lord Jesus, the one who is the eternal faithful one. We thank thee, Father, for that song in the Beloved. We thank thee for our brethren and our sisters who are with us tonight and their songs concerning him. And we pray thy continued grace and blessing upon them as they minister from place to place. Afresh we ask thy blessing now and receive our thanks for this time together. And above all things, open our eyes and illumine them that we may see him. In his name, amen. Judges chapter 6, please. And we'll commence to read at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Ephrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midians. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Let us turn to just one other portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Though all these happened unto them for types, is the margin, and samples, but they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Now all these things happen for unto them for types, and they are written for our admonition. Gideon is one of the most interesting men in the Old Testament. And we want to have a look at, first of all tonight, the look at his, how that Simeon becomes God's man. God's man for the occasion. God's man for the time that was there. If you were to look back in the sixth chapter of Judges, you would see that Deborah had led the people of God for some 40 years. For we read in the 31st verse of the fifth chapter, So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun which goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. But then during the course of that 40 years' time, we find that it's very interesting, a great deal of backsliding with the people of God intervened. The people of God got further away from God, and when this happens, whether it's in this dispensation, whether it's in this time, or in the time of the book of Judges, anything can happen. And so we see how that at the very offset of our study tonight, how that here is an apostasy comes in, and the children of Israel are under servitude of the Midians or the Midianites. So the condition in the first days of Gideon, as we look at them in the first 10 verses, is very, very unpleasant. Unpleasant is a very moderate expression. You know, some years ago, in 1955, an 18-year-old boy went to the deacons of his church in Boston and wanted to be received into the church. However, this young man was saved through a shoe salesman. And this is the quotation that his Sunday school teacher gave him. I can truly say that I have seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker than his when he came to my Sunday school class. And I think the committee of the church seldom met an applicant who seemed a more unlikely to become a member with a clear and decided views of the gospel of truth, still less to fill any space of public or extended usefulness. Nothing happened very quickly in this young man's life to change the minds of the deacons of that particular church. In fact, they put him on a year's probation of instruction before they received him. And you see, he was a very illiterate boy. And his spoken grammar was atrocious. You see, as well, at the end of the year, they hesitantly received him in their membership of the church because of his sincerity. Over the next years, I am sure many people looked at him and were convinced God would never use a person like that. We are talking about D.L. Moody. Isn't that interesting? That God would pick up an 18-year-old boy like this. By God's infinite grace and mercy, D.L. Moody became one of the most outstanding evangelists, I suppose, in the last 200 years. And I would say, suggest to you, even with respect to Billy Graham and all due respect to him. In fact, I'm sure that Billy Graham would agree with me. One of the great truths of Scripture is that God looks simply at someone, not at what we see, but at what we are. What we can become, this is what God looks at. As He works in our lives, He is in the business of taking weak, insignificant people and transforming them by His Spirit into their lives to show the Lord Jesus. You see, He begins where we are and as we are. And you see, we may feel we are failures. I wonder what D.L. Moody must have felt as a young 18-year-old boy. We may have all kinds of failures and weaknesses, discouragements and doubts, and feel inadequate. But you see, He comes in our weakness. And with the promise of His presence and power, and still transforms our inadequacy into His power and into His strength. This is portrayed now in the life of Gideon as we look at him tonight. This man was picked by God, but there isn't one person here tonight, I'm sure, that would have picked Gideon at all after having read the 6th chapter of the book of Judges. You see, we find Gideon here in this chapter. If we want to use it, I believe he was almost at the place of where he was reaching up to touch bottom. Yes, someone has said, I believe he was lower than a proverbial flea's knees. This was his condition. This is how he was. And yet God used him. You see, he was discouraged. He was defeated. He was helpless. And we're going to see that in a moment or two as we read these verses. These verses really portray to us, there isn't any question, but what the cycle of sin has brought the people of God to place. Sin does many things in the lives of the people of God. They were serving under a godless nation. And you see, they were crying to God. In the mercy of God, they took so long to cry. That's what it says in that portion. Then they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto them. You see, for 40 years they had known freedom and peace, but now for 7 years they had known servitude, and they had just drifted back. You know, sometimes in the times of peace is the worst time. That is, troublesome times often drive the people of God to their knees. And so as we look at Gideon now, we want to look at him, and we want to see how that, as we do this, we want you to notice with us the repentance of Gideon. Notice with me from verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord God, your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. You see, every other time in Judges, when God's people called on him for help, he immediately sent a judge to help them immediately. There was a great difference between a cry for help from trouble and a cry of repentance. I'm going to repeat that. There's a vast difference between a cry for help and a cry for repentance. You see, repentance requires that we face the sin that's in our lives. You see, Israel called on God, but they had not dealt with their sin. He sent them a prophet to remind them of his greatness and how great his deliverance was. God had done all this in his grace. Yet deliberately and defiantly, they had broken his covenant. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't the human heart an amazing thing? It seems to me it is. They were what they were, where they were, because they had turned away from him. This is their condition. I want you to just for a moment get the promise of God in the light of what God had told Israel would happen to them if they followed him. Let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy just for a second. I won't be able to read all this whole portion of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. But it's a beautiful, beautiful portion. And it tells us a great deal about what God had intended for Israel. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths of the springs out of the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Ah, but beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when the herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God had brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so on. Amazing. As we look at this portion of the scripture tonight, this is what God had intended for Israel. And more. But as we look at what happened, and we're going to see that just in a moment or two, I want you to look at the call of Gideon. I want you to see how God had picked this man, why he picked him. Let's look at verse 11, please. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash and the Abiezrite. Notice, here's Gideon, and this is he passes onto the scene now. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, I want you to notice Gideon's, what he said. Very interesting. Maybe you said something like this yourself. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Notice what Gideon says. And Gideon said, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Why then is all this befallen us? Why? And where? Where be all your miracles? Would you pick a man like that? Would you? I wouldn't. Oh, no. You see, in our estimation, you see, I'm afraid we look on the outward. We don't look at the potential. We look only what is there, not what's possible by God. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to ask you a question, some of you young men who hardly utter a word at the Lord's Supper. I want to ask you a question. Is this what you're saying? If, oh my Lord, if, why, where? I want to really have you search your heart tonight. You see, this is what God is saying. Gideon's name is Hewer. He's a hewer, not H-U-G-H-E-R, but H-E-W-E-R. He is a hewer, which means, I suppose, a drawer of water. I don't know. Hewer and drawer of water. But it means hewer, which we would really appear to be a man of great physical strength, very likely. But you see, I want you to notice verse 11. It doesn't say, it says he's hiding. He's hiding from the Midianites. Doesn't look about much physical strength there, does it? Doesn't indicate that. And he's threshing wheat so that the Midianites wouldn't see him. The beating of the wheat also shows how God had humbled the house of Ophrah. Gideon's a picture of a defeated, discouraged man. But I want you to notice now God's transforming grace or presence. As he beats the wheat, a man appeared. There are two things about this man that appears is very interesting. You see, Gideon did not know he was the angel of the Lord. There was nothing supernatural about his appearance. Gideon didn't realize that it was more than just an angel of the Lord. It says, notice very carefully, he was the angel of the Lord. And if you were to take your Bibles and to carefully study Genesis 22 in relation to Abraham, and Exodus 3 in relation to Moses, there you would find that this was none other than the Lord Jesus in his Old Testament form. But note verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Was God mocking him? He sure didn't look like a man of valor there. Oh no, he definitely wasn't. However, at that point he was not a mighty man of valor. God always views the potential. Never forget this. God always views what's possible. And I say this to the younger men and to the younger women, more particularly for some of us, have gone beyond the years of potential. God always looks at what's possible under his grace and under his power. And this is the case. Abraham was childless when he became the father of many nations. Did you know that? God promised him children, and he was childless. Peter, a rock. Yes, he didn't look much like a rock in so many instances. But you see, God was looking at what was possible with Peter. You see, Gideon, not what you are now, but what you can become is what God is saying. And oh, I hope that this will be the part of the message that will really reach hearts tonight. Not what you are, but what you really want to become. But you know there's a price to pay. And you say, what's that price? Well, do you want to really be used of God? And if you do, God will take you at your word. God will take you, not him. Not you depending on his word in this instance, but him upon what you say. You say you want to be a man of God or a woman of God. Then God says simply, you have to set your house in order. And we're going to look at that in a moment. You see, he knew and had heard what God had done in the past. But what about now? Where is now? You see, these honest doubts in the case of Gideon wasn't wrong. The if, the why, the where was not wrong. These were honest doubts. He was looking for some real positive answers. This was not unbelief. This was an honest doubt, seeking to really learn. And you see, how could he possibly deal with the Midianites is what his really answer to this. And so often, God wants us to deal with these honest doubts. Well, all right, let's look at a little further now. Gideon had not really began to deal with the situation altogether. God had not forsaken his people here, but they had turned away from them, him. You see, note verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You know, it's very interesting with respect to John the Baptist. There's a little phrase about John the Baptist I've always enjoyed. Always felt that it was a real wonderful statement. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Why don't you put your name in? There's a man sent from God whose name was Ray. There's a man sent from God whose name was ? You put your name in. And you see, God was looking here for a man. God was looking for a man to deliver Israel. And you see, beloved saints of God, God is still looking for men. God is still looking for women. In this 20th century and at this time. But you see, here was the remedy for defeat and discouragement. Notice again, I want you to look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, this is your might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, have not I sent thee? That's the answer. God had sent him. And if you're a child of God, God, Jesus Christ, has sent you. Do you know that? You're a sent one by God. God has sent you. If you're a real child of God, John 17 tells me this, that you're sent into this world. You're a sent one. I want to ask a question. What are you doing about it? What are you really doing about it? What are you honestly doing about it? As a child of God tonight, What are you doing about it in this local church? Yourself. You see, this is what God wants. Have not I sent thee? Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I'll be with thee. And one with God is always in the majority. No matter what the number is. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you see? This is what God is trying to teach us here in this portion of the Scripture. God said, go, Gideon. And then he says, how can I do that? Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Well, that's a good start. He realized how poor he was. That's a good start in a way, in a very definite way. But he said, go. This was really not so, you see. Because look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, and he did it by night. So you see, things begin to change in the life of Gideon a little later on as we look at him. You see, this is where God wants him and he wants us all. Well, just for a moment, turn to a New Testament scripture. We have a few minutes to do this. Just turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. And I think some of the younger men who have been coming to our Bible class out at the house have heard us look at this scripture, but I want to look at it again tonight. Hopefully it'll really, really touch us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's in the city of Corinth. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, you see, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't look at it now, but I just like to quote it. There the Apostle Paul had sought the Lord for the thorn in the flesh on three occasions, and God said no. The answer is no. My grace, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God is not often looking for our strengths. He's looking for our weaknesses. This is what God is wanting us to be, utterly and wholly and solely. This is a lesson that not only the congregation, the people of God here, every one of us need to learn this lesson. You see, inadequate in ourselves, but in verse 16, I will be with thee and thou shalt smite the Midianites. You see, with God we are adequate. God always prepares the man for the work that he has him to do if we'll wait his time. If we await God's time. You see, what we need most is not self-confidence, but God-confidence. There's one final step, though, before we close. And we need to know that God's promises are not the figment of His imagination. You see, the confirmation of of Gideon is seen in verses 17, and I want to read them. And he said unto him, If I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me, and depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, and an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and those, and there arose up a fire over the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. That's very interesting. And unto this day, and it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And you see, as we read this, Gideon doesn't realize there is something special about this person, the angel of the Lord. You see, in times of famine, I don't know whether you noticed in those reading of those first 10 verses, the condition of things. These people were really overrun by the Midianites. They grew their crops, and so the Midianites waited till all the crops were ready. And down they swept with their camels. And they were numberless in comparison to the Israelites, and as a result, they overrun the whole place, and there wasn't any food for the cattle. No food. There was no bread then. There was hardly anything to eat. And they were in the midst of a real famine. But isn't it interesting? And I think this is a time for us in these days of difficulty for us to realize the angel of the Lord provided the food in the famine. The angel of the Lord provided the food in the famine. What a lesson. You see, God can produce the need in spite of what the difficulties may be. God hadn't come to judge Israel, but he came to deliver his people. Notice verse 23 with me, please, just in closing. And it says, And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not. He was showing him his peace and his love. Do you think Gideon would ever forget that? Well, I hope not. I hope he'd never forget that little lesson he had learned. Notice verse 22, And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Alas, O Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face. God is in the process of transforming men and women. He doesn't do it instantly. He does this when we spend time. This is what I said, and to this verse I absolutely close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Spirit of the Lord. Well, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now this is the verse, but we all, with an open face or an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. There's only one place to find Him. Here it is. sure it costs to be a man of God. You're going to have to throw away your books. I don't mean Christian books. I'm talking about your books that are absolutely junk. Pure, unabated junk. And begin to look into the Word of God. You're going to have to take time with God to really throw aside the hours and the time spent on the television. That's what it costs. That's what it costs. And you see, this is what God is saying here. We all, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are changed. How? Into the same image, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, please don't say that Mr. Fox said you to throw your television out. I didn't say that. I said the hours, the times, the amount of time spent. Oh, there's so much wasted time. And as we look at this, you see, this is what it costs here. The truth of what it really means to enter in. The principle here is vital. God doesn't give His message really in visions. He gives it from the Word of God. And so tonight, I hope we've learned a few lessons from Gideon. The beginning of this man. It's only the start. The next three chapters deal with Gideon's wife. Very interesting. But that's the start. May the Lord indeed bless His word, shall we pray. Father, as we look into Thy word, oh, what lessons, what types, what examples we see from the Old Testament. What pictures, what real sights we see, how that Thou hast come into the lives of different individual men who in the eyes of man would be worthless, but oh, in the eyes of God are priceless. Grant Thy blessing now upon Thy word to Thy people tonight. We do not know, Lord, if there should be any here who really hasn't trusted the Savior. We would pray that something that we even do not quite grasp would be said that will really cause them to see that to be a man of God costs something. To be a child of God costs nothing. For Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, what an infinite thing that is. We can never boast when we get to heaven or there because of anything we have done. For Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. Oh, what marvelous grace. And now, Father, we pray that Thou bless this congregation as we go downstairs to have fellowship together. We pray that Thou bless the things that we're about to receive. We thank Thee for this group tonight, and we pray that Thou put Thy gracious hand upon them, and may the blessing of God attend each person. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Time is gone, we won't sing.